Welcome to the Bruins Benders Podcast, Season 3, Episode 19. It is Deadline Day with Maddie and Smitty, brought to you on the Inside the Rink Podcast Network. InsideTheRink.com is your one-stop shop for all your NHL and ECHL news, insight, and analysis. Follow on X at Inside_the_Rink. Download the Inside the Rink app for extensive Bruins coverage. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. We have some information as well on how to sign up for ESPN Plus.
Thank you for watching the show. If you enjoy our podcast and want to support the show, consider signing up for ESPN Plus via our link at insidetherink.com/ESPN or scan the QR code on your screen now. I have ESPN Plus, and I personally love all the college sports, UFC, MLB, and NHL games all across ESPN platforms. Over 1,000 out-of-market NHL games are on ESPN Plus every year. Make sure you hit the QR code or go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to make sure you don't miss out on any of this year's NHL action. And if that wasn't enough for you, ESPN Plus is currently offering a bundle of ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu for $14.99 a month. You get sports, the kids get Disney, and Hulu is the added bonus. It's the perfect bundle. I personally have it, and I don't know what you would do without it.
Yeah, I mean, I have it too. I think you should grab the ESPN Plus for the fucking playoffs. Playoffs are coming up. Grab that shit.
Playoffs?
You kidding me? Playoffs? Yeah. For the playoffs. You should get it for the playoffs. So yeah. You can, catch the ESPN hockey. Get the hockey. Get all the NHL hockey right there. Playoffs is the best time of the year for the NHL fan. So go on over there sign up for that shit.
No doubt about it. And now that the trade deadline is passed, you have all your teams, and this is what they're going with for the rest of the way. And damn it, if you aren't super excited to be a Bruins fan right now, I'm not sure what your problem is. I mean, honestly, this is something else. Let's do some rapid review, get that out of the way, and then we'll just hammer home some trade deadline talk. 5 games, 3-1-1 for the Bruins. Big win against Vegas. Mason Lowry with a late power play goal. It was a really good win for Boston. Vegas has kind of been up and down this year. Some injuries. They were missing Mark Stone, some others. Jack Eichel, of course. But it's always good to beat Vegas, one of the contenders for the cup, for a cup run again. And the Bruins get a really good effort when they've been up and down as well.
Yeah, they did. They did get a good effort, and it was a nice win against, a good Vegas team. You know, defending champs come in with Bruce Cassidy, and it was nice to get a win, even though Vegas was a little depleted there. Any wins lately are nice wins for the Bruins because they were going, they were going overtime up the ass for a long, long while there. So any win the Bruins can get at this stage of the game is good.
Yeah, overtime up the ass, never a good thing.
No.
Maybe the low point of the year, though, followed it in true Bruins fashion. Let's lay an egg in a 5-1 loss to the New York Islanders that absolutely nobody watched, including us.
Yeah. We did not, neither one of us saw this game, so it's very difficult for us to say that it's the low point of the year, but based off of all the feedback from you fine folks on Twitter slash X, the sky seemed to be falling, and they lost, and they deserved to lose. The only bright spot in that game, Mark McLaughlin scores a late goal. The Bruins avoid the shutout, and good for him in his single call up there to get a goal late.
And with McLaughlin, he only scores in the NHL. That's all he does. He scores NHL goals. That's it. He scores almost every time he plays. Yeah. And then when he goes to the AHL, you don't hear from him for weeks.
He'd be Timo Solani if he played in the NHL, I think. Just out there,
all year long.
Yeah, Phil Esposito. Yeah. Just give him 70. Chalk him up next year for 70 if he plays a full season in the NHL. Let's give him 70.
Scored 70 goals by playing 8.5 minutes a game, because it might be Mark McLaughlin. he does it every time.
Yeah.
Then the Bruins respond after that shit show and recommitting to defense. They gave up 4 goals total in 3 games against the Leafs twice, and then the Oilers. So two dynamic offensive teams. 4-1 win in Toronto. 2-1 OT loss against the Oilers that they kind of blew again. Mm-hmm. And then a home win on Eras night against the Leafs 4-1 again. So the Bruins seem to have the Leafs number still.
Yeah.
And that could be the matchup, even though I'm still petrified as hell of it.
Yeah, it looks like it probably will be the matchup. The Bruins went 4-0 against the Leafs in the season series. They won a couple of close ones. There was an OT game, I believe, and a shootout win, and then these 4-1 drubbings. And in this last game, the Leafs really came out physically and were seemed to be tired of losing to the Bruins, kind of tried to take it to them. McCabe cross-checks Marchand in the throat early in the first, and that kind of lit a fire under Marchand and Coyle. That line after that, I think, really set the tone physically. They were banging everybody and really set the tone for the Bruins to kind of respond to that physicality by Toronto. And then the Bruins took it to them on the scoreboard and came out with a really nice 4-1 win in front of the 2011 Cup guys. And then, you know, there were some other 2000s era guys in the building, PJ Stock, Al Gill, Mike Knuble, you know, a bunch of guys from that era. So it was cool to see all those guys in the building. One of the classic things during the Nesson broadcast, Andrew Raycroft was interviewing Hal Gill, and Hal Gill's trying to give him beer during the interview. It was amazing. It was a classic, classic moment where he's like, "Yeah, you want some?" and then drinks it down himself. But it was a great night, and you know, it was good to see the Bruins kind of give it to Toronto again, because you know, it's always nice to see that.
I mean, it is nice. I mean, it is. I mean, the Eras thing has been a really good six. It's been a good thing for the fans. It's been nice to have people back. They largely have played pretty well in those games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been good. It's been a good thing that they put together. The timing was odd. The day before the deadline, like, just kind of weird that you would do it that night. If the fact that, of course, that the Bruins hadn't done anything yet at the deadline, so people were kind of saying, why are they focusing on this when they should be out, you know, on the phones and trying to get you know, some reinforcements for the club. But it is a good thing, and the Bruins are back to playing pretty good hockey right now after hitting a little bit of a stumbling block. So hopefully, you know, it continues. It'll be interesting to see now after the deals that were done and not done, how it affects the team, you know, going forward. All right, trade deadline recap. So this is what the Bruins really tried, it seemed, to make some deals and to improve the club. There was talk about Linus Allmark maybe potentially going to L.A., but he nixed that deal. Mm-hmm. But there were other teams who did really well. And first was the Vegas Golden Knights, who I think probably stole the show. First of all, getting Noah Hanifin 2 days ago, that was a big, someone linked to the Bruins, that was a big get for them, and kind of a risk because he hasn't re-signed or anything, and wasn't one of the teams that really on his radar. And then at the 11th hour was Thomas Hertl from the San Jose Sharks, which was such a big deal. I mean, the Golden Knights really improved and took a shot at it.
That was a ridiculous steal, too. Like, Mike Greer possibly should be fired for malpractice on that trade. The Knights get Hertl, 2 third-round picks for Vegas's first-round pick last year, which was David Enstrom, and a 2025 first. Like, and San Jose is retaining 17% salary. So it for 6 years, not just like for a year, for 6 years.
Right.
Unbelievable trade for Vegas. And, you know, it's just kind of a rich get richer type of thing. And they also add Anthony Mantha, who's a big body who will fit right in Vegas from the Capitals for a second and a fourth. So Vegas really, I think, is probably the winner at the deadline. You pick up, you know, a top six forward in Hertl, probably a top nine forward in Mantha, and then you get a top 4D in Hanifin. You know, that's excellent to go along with these guys and come off long-term IR. I mean, you're going to get Stone back. You're going to get Eichel back. You know, Alec Martinez, some of those guys that have been on the shelf, they're going to be deep, big, physical, strong. And I think that you have to think that that's going to put them, if not the favorite to win the cup, you know, right up there in top two or three.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was just, I mean, they really took a swing at it. Like you said, they got a top six, a top nine, a top 4D man in one trade deadline, and with Mark Stone and Jack Eichel being banged up and so forth, like, it's also insurance. Those guys continue to work through some injuries. I mean, it's just, I mean, man, they're loaded again.
And it gives them time to let those guys get fresh before the playoffs. And the playoffs, as everybody knows, the NHL playoffs is an absolute grind. So to give those guys, you know, proper time to heal and kind of get right before the playoffs start, you know, I think that's another benefit from the whole thing.
Sure, no question. Colorado Avalanche, another team that really made some strides. They get Casey Mittelstadt, another guy who was kind of linked to the Bruins here or there. A young centerman, and the Avalanche get him for Bowen Byram. And then they turn around, they get Brandon Duhaime, who you like, and that's another guy, kind of a sneaky, good little addition to a team that could use a little bit of, you know, grit and grind and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a great move. I think the Mittelstadt move was a great move because he's a young guy. He's having a great year. I think he'll fit right in. You know, maybe they get Landeskog back for the playoffs. Maybe they don't. There's some talk that, you know, he may be ready, but, you know, they're not necessarily sure they want to push him. They may hold him out until next year, but he fits in really nicely in their top six, I think. And then Sean Walker, they get from Philadelphia, who has very similar offensive kind of rush stats and stuff to Cale Makar. He's a really good kind of under the radar defenseman who's kind of come into his own, and he'll fit that Avalanche system perfectly. I feel like this is almost like one of those Devin Taves kind of trades where you look back and you're like, why the fuck did Philadelphia get rid of this guy? You know, they are getting a conditional first, I think, in the trade. You know, it's a really good move for Colorado. After they give up Byram, they replace him with Walker. And then they get Jakob Trenin and Graham Seward.
Right.
for Jeremy Hansel and Gretel. I don't know. Some other guy. They just add, you know, Trenin gives them a little bit of depth there. So I think the Avalanche really, you know, besides Vegas, are probably one of the winners at the deadline as well. And these teams in the West are gearing up for what really will be a war, you know, between the top teams here, Vegas, Colorado, you know, Dallas, Edmonton also, you know, gets into the mix too with some moves. Sure. So yeah, it's going to be a war in the West. No doubt.
Gets Toffoli. I mean, everybody sort of took a swing at it.
Yeah.
You know, so. So I agree with you. And then Carolina Hurricanes, like every year they seem to really go for it and be real aggressive and try to add pieces. They haven't gotten over the hump yet, but this year could be one of those years where they kind of sneak in a more wide open Eastern Conference.
Absolutely.
Like they could actually get there by getting Jake Guentzel and Ty Smith from the Penguins. And then they get Evgeny Kuznetsov from the Capitals for a third round pick, and the Capitals take on half a salary. Those are two really good trades, and they really only give up Michael Bunting in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, and I think a conditional second in 2024, but they really didn't give up a whole lot, and Guentzel's going to be a really nice add for that team. I think he'll fit perfectly with them. He's kind of a speed guy. He plays aggressively, which fits kind of Carolina's system. And then Kuznetsov is really, really talented. I think he needs the coke. So if Carolina, you know, has a lot of coke down there, pile of coke, a lot of coke to keep him going. And like the Energizer Bunny, maybe he'll add something to that team because he does have the talent and maybe fitting in with some of those Russian guys like Svechnikov and so forth. You know, we'll get him kind of rejuvenated, and maybe he can help them.
Yeah, for sure. And again, Carolina is they kind of missed it in the last couple of years, but every single year they really try to add and they really try to be aggressive. And this year, this could be the year where they get into the finals with these types of ads. And then the Florida Panthers, like it was everyone who the Bruins will be up against. It was all the heavy hitters in the Eastern Conference, and they get Kyle Okpozo from the Sabres, which I think is a sneaky good ad. Veteran guy. Mm-hmm. He can score a little bit. He's tough. You know, he's experienced. And he could be someone who could really add and be a pretty good fit to that club.
I think he definitely will be a good fit to that club because he's not going to be relied upon. He was a captain in Buffalo, but he's not going to be relied upon in Florida to do the same, you know, kind of heavy lifting that he had to do in Buffalo. You know, they have a top six already that's really good, so he can play, you know, further down the lineup and maybe get some advantageous mashups and be able to capitalize on that. You know, him as a, you know, as a third line guy, you know, going up against other teams' third lines. I think that's a matchup that Florida would like. And then you add Tarasenko, you know, who's, you know, not the goal scorer he once was, but can certainly still score the puck. And I think he's going to be rejuvenated there with a chance to win and the caliber of guys that he's going to be playing with. And they didn't give up a whole lot, but, you know, added some really valuable, you know, offensive talent to a team that's already probably the favorite in the East.
And then it was Tampa Bay Lightning, again, another Eastern Conference foe. And they get Anthony Duclair, and they also get Matt Dumba. So those two, you know, a couple of really good moves for them as well. And again, teams that just are trying to plug in with some really bona fide NHL players. And I think you're seeing, if they weren't already, you're seeing three or four teams sort of passing the Bruins.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think these guys both will help. I mean, Dumba's been down a little bit since he's gone to Arizona from Minnesota. Duclair was on a San Jose team that, you know, wasn't going anywhere, but you have to think with a change of scenery and the opportunity to get back in the playoffs, and he used to play for Florida, so maybe going up against his former team will give him some juice too, but he's got speed. He plays, you know, kind of a physical game, and he can score the puck, so you know, he'll give him some options off the rush and some different things that he can do. Only adds to the depth there that, you know, is already probably better than Boston's. So you know, there's going to be some matchups there where, you know, the Bruins probably are on the outside looking in, I would think.
Yeah, and there was another team, and it was Toronto who got someone who I thought, in the grand scheme of things, particularly in the short term, might have even been a better fit for the Bruins than Hanifin, and that was Joel Edmondson, just because he's physical. You know, he's 30, he's a left shot, he's a defenseman who's, you know, played with the, you know, the, I think he was with the Blues.
He was, right? With, I mean, the Blues, yeah.
He's been in some really high pressure games and has a lot of experience, and I thought that he might actually be a better fit for Boston, and of course it would have been, you know, a smaller price to pay.
Right.
And I think that getting him was a really good get for Toronto.
It was a good get. They gave up a third next year and a fifth in 2025 to get Edmondson. They also got Connor Dewar, who I think is a good kind of bottom six guy who's going to give you energy and will run around and hit people and cause some havoc. And they only gave up a 2025 fourth for him, I believe. So, you know, not a lot that they had to pay there, and they get some guys who will add a little grit to a team that certainly needs it. After, you know, right, they tried to do the gritty thing and battle with the Bruins, but, you know, it didn't really work out for them. But these guys will add some grit and some skill, which I think their grit right now doesn't have much skill. Your McMahons and your right. Reeves, you know, are out there, and they'll bang around a little bit, but they're not going to, you know, win any matchups really with the other team's third and fourth line. So this helps out the Leafs. Obviously their top six is dynamic and really difficult to contain. So, but they really, you know, outside of Edmondson, you know, on their back end, they're still kind of weak. Toronto is,
they got Ilya Labushkin too. Yeah. He's kind of a deaf guy.
Yeah. I mean, so that's,
you know, that doesn't know nothing offensively. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's still probably their Achilles heel. Which is why, you know, hopefully the Bruins can take advantage of that, but, you know, their offense just scares the bejesus out of you. And their ability to score quickly, and obviously, you know, Austin Matthews is dynamic, and Mitch Marner seems to always score against the Bruins. Did you see that stat that the game in Toronto, the first game the Bruins played them last week, it was the first time the Bruins have played Marner where he has not scored a goal against them in a home game. He's played like 12 home games. Then it was the first time they kept him from scoring a goal at home in Toronto against Boston.
Straight games.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
So
he punishes the Bruins in Toronto, and you know, so I mean, that's an offense and a team that you have to be frightened about, because eventually they're going to break through against you eventually, and it feels like this might be the year.
It does, and I said it last year, if they would have faced them, and I still think it might be true this year. Like, I know that the Bruins have had success this year with them, but I just feel like you said, they get some momentum. Toronto wins the first game of the series or whatever and starts to score and feel good about themselves offensively. Then I'm just like, I'm really scared to death of it. Like, eventually they're going to get over the hump.
Yeah.
And right now they've probably been at least slightly more talented than the Bruins in the past, but they are, in my opinion, you know, fairly considerably more talented than the Bruins now.
Oh, yeah. Right?
They should win the friggin' series.
They should.
And I'm just really scared about it. I really am. And, you know, hopefully that some of the couple of reinforcements the Bruins did get, hopefully might help against a team like Toronto. Seven Chirps is sponsored by Lops Brewing and Lobster Brewery and Tasting Room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. Open 7 days a week. Use the coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order at lopsbrewing.com. Follow them at Lops Brewing on social media for new beers and events. And Chirp 1, Pat Maroon goes to the Bees for Luke Toporowski in a conditional sixth rounder. Pat's coming back from a back surgery. He just started skating. He was put on long-term IR right now, saving $800,000. Your thoughts on this one?
I like this trade. I do. I like it. I think he adds an experience level. He has won three cups. He adds toughness. He's big, so he can fight heavyweights if he needs to fight heavyweights or keep some other teams maybe in check a little bit. He's a good voice in the locker room. You know, everybody that's been his teammates raved about the guy. I hated the guy. Honestly, I couldn't stand him.
Sure,
but he's a Marchand type. He's a guy that if you're playing against him, you hate him, but if he's on your team, you know, everybody loves him. So I'm gonna choose to love him now, even though I hated him in the past. And I think it's a good trade, and they didn't have to give up much to get him.
And I agree. And they didn't have to give up anything, really. I mean, you're talking about a career AHLer in a conditional sixth, which you don't even have to protect that, but they did anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really for nothing. And he doesn't make anything, really. So he's a veteran guy who's been on cup winners. He seems to always be in the mix on a contender.
Yeah.
And every time you watch him, it's kind of like Gudas. Every time you watch him, like, this guy sucks. But then they win with him in the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and he's always, like you said, in the mix of it, kind of an asshole, that whole thing. Like, he plays that part up. And Charlie Coyle even said, he's like, I hated the guy when he was there, but I love him now.
Sure.
And Shattenkirk said, you know, he's a really lovable guy. Like, he's a good guy to have on your team.
Yeah.
He just plays that role really, really well. So, you know, keep Jack away from him because that's probably messy. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm with you. Like, fine. Like, here's the thing about the fourth line. They needed to have a guy like him because right now they're just like, you know, three little dwarfs, like, skating around. You know what I mean? They need like a big, tough guy, veteran guy, something. They lost Lucic. He's kind of that type of guy. Mm-hmm. So just put him in there, and it at least changes the dynamic of the fourth line.
Yeah, so, I agree, 100%. I think it's a good add for very little. You know, you're not giving up anything really at all. And he should be. I think he just started skating, and he should be ready probably by the end of March. I think Sweeney said no timetable, but his timetable, I believe, was end of March. And so hopefully that's, you know, enough time. He gets a few games in and can gear up, you know, for a playoff push here with Boston.
Yeah, no question. So that was, I think, a pretty, you know, a decent move for what you have to give.
Sure.
You know, it's a very minor thing, but it's fine. And then chirp number two, Andrew Peak goes to the Bruins for Jakub Zboril in a 2027 third round pick. Peak has 2 years left at $2.75 million per year. He's a defenseman who doesn't provide much offense at all, but he is kind of a tough, snarly guy. He does make a little bit of money going forward, but your thoughts on that one?
I liked the trade initially, and then I saw the return, and I was like, why are they giving up a third-round pick for this guy? There were reports.
They're assuming all the money.
Right. So they didn't retain anything, and there were reports out of Columbus that he was going to get bought out. So if they were going to buy the guy and eat money in the buyout, why would you not ask them to retain at least the money that they would have had to retain in the buyout? You know, and mm-hmm. because you're giving them a third also and a player.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, yeah, so you gave up way too much for him. I mean, I hope and think that he can be kind of a forward replacement, except on the other side. He's a right shot instead of a left. Right. So, you know, he kind of fills in there, but he blocks a ton of shots, which is great. So he'll be a PK guy, and he hits more than Forbort does. He blocks more shots than Forbort does. So I think, you know, if they can get him into the Bruins system, then I think he can be a better player than Derek Forbort is. Now, is that, you know, what you're looking for? Well, I don't know, but he'll add some of that physicality and snarl that we kind of have been asking them to add. So here it is. You know, we'll see if it works out for them. But I think he's your third pair right D man, you know, for the next couple of years with that contract. So I don't think there's any two ways about that. It'll be interesting to see kind of how they approach things come playoff time. You know, is Peak in? Is Shattenkirk in? I like Shattenkirk's experience, but he's not a great skater and he's not particularly physical. He will add more offense, obviously, than Peak does. So I wonder if that will be matchup based, you know, depending on who you're playing against. Like if you're playing against a team like Florida that's big and physical, you know, I would expect Peak to be in there. But if you're playing, you know, some other teams maybe that aren't as big, you know, maybe it's a Shattenkirk situation. So we'll have to see kind of how that all plays out. But I liked it initially because he's young too. He's younger than Forbort, mm-hmm. much younger. He's 25, I believe, 26 mm-hmm. a little later this month. So I like all those things, and the Bruins scouting staff must have seen something in him to be able to give all this up to bring a guy like this in and think that he'll fit the system, you know, better than a guy like Forbort or better than, you know, some other guy would.
Yeah, I mean, the right shot D, particularly in the third period, was kind of a sneaky need.
Yeah,
they were thin on the right side. Mm-hmm. And so this is a good, the only thing I don't love about it is that the money, like you're ridding yourself for Forbort and Grizzlet, who kind of made too much money. Now you have a chance to put a young guy in there making $1.5 million or something. Like you had a chance to save a little bit of money, I think, with this role. And you ended up paying almost $3 million for this role.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? So that's
the only thing I don't like about it.
That's really where the problem is with it, is the return that they gave up. You know, if you let, you know, in the offseason say, I mean, that doesn't help you now, but in the offseason say Columbus buys this guy out, you know, you probably get him for a veteran minimum. So you're paying him 2 years at, you know, $1 million each instead. And so you get the same player for $2 million instead of 2.75 per, you know, instead of 5.5, you get him for $2 million over 2 years. So it does kind of hit your cap there a little bit. So like I was saying, the Bruins scouting department, I really hope they saw something in this guy and was like, he can be, you know, a Brandon Carlo-ish guy. And if that's the case, then you've won. You've won the trade. If he turns into, you know, a poor man's Brandon Carlo or Brandon Carlo with more physicality. I mean, who knows? Because he is big. He's 6'3". He's 205, 210. So he's a big kid. And like we said, will hit and you know, can block shots. So maybe he takes some of those harder penalty-killing minutes away from McAvoy too, which would save him to do, you know, some more offensive things. Who knows?
Right. Chirp 3, Bruins reportedly had a deal in place with the Los Angeles Kings that included Linus Allmark, and Allmark vetoed the deal via his no-trade clause. So your thoughts on this one?
It's interesting. I've heard some names thrown around from the LA side. I love that graphic. You got to watch on YouTube. Graphic's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's some guys' names thrown around. One of them was Pierre-Luc Dubois. Now, we don't, this is just speculation. We don't know if any of this is true. Another guy was Adrian Kempe. Kempe, I would love. Like, I would be all sure. in if it was Kempe. Dubois, I don't love. I mean, he's immensely talented. I believe he was like the fourth pick in the draft or something like that at some point. Like, he's really, really talented, but he plays like three times a month. When he decides to play, he's like, you know, once a week he'll play hard, and the rest of the time he just kind of floats. And you can't pay a guy what they're paying him. I think he's getting paid over eight, right? Something like that. Crazy. Getting like eight and a half or something like that for like six or eight more years. So unless they were retaining a shit ton of salary there, like, I'm not making that trade. I'm not trading Allmark for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Now, if you want to talk about Kempe and some other pieces, you know, I can, or even maybe a one for one, because Kempe will really help you. You know, that's something you could consider. But Dubois, I would have been, I mean, maybe Allmark saved the Bruins bacon there a little bit with that one.
He might have. Sure, he might have. Right now, though, here's the thing. Like, Allmark at this point, you're not going to get much for him anymore.
Like, probably not.
I mean, by the end of this season, it'll be the off season. He'll be going into the last year of his deal. He'll be 29, whatever it is, years old, like, or 30, whatever it is. And you're just not, and you get in there, and teams are going to know you're up against the barrel on him. So now you've got to get rid of him, or you want to, because you'll have too much money invested in goaltenders. So you're probably not going to get as much as you think you might. So now at this point, you might see him walk after next season. Like, you, and I don't know how you can go into next year with $12 million bucks in goaltenders. I just don't know how you can do it unless you just really just sell off on him, you know, and take whatever you can get for him in the off season. So it's going to be kind of an interesting play there, because you can save $5 million bucks if you just get a second round pick for him.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
can you though?
It's going to, I mean, it's going to be real interesting to see what they do in the off season with the goaltending. Cause, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. There's a few chirps from now anyway, but if they can't get Swayman done, you know, if they can't sign him to an extension, he might be the guy on the way out, and all they might be looking to sign Allmark to an extension. Right. So there's lots of kind of balls in the air as far as that goes about, you know, what they end up doing with Allmark and or Swayman, because of the whole arbitration thing. Like, it didn't sound like in Sweeney's press conference today, somebody asked him about Swayman and the extension, and he said, you know, we're talking, but he's like, and he kind of referred back to the arbitration process and saying how that really kind of pissed Swayman off. So he's not taking any discounts, not at all.
Nope.
So, and they're going to be, he's restricted again, I believe. Right. So
yeah, he's restricted again.
So it's going to be another one of those, like, going through, if they can't agree to a long-term deal, going up to the arbitration again and trying to figure out that whole thing again. And if they piss him off again, then he's definitely gone. So
he's gone. He's not going
to So they have some kind of big moves at goaltender that they got to figure out here in the next, you know, whatever off season, I suppose.
And you know what? It, to me, you have to bite the bullet and see that coming, and maybe deal Allmark last year or whatever.
Yeah.
After the end of last year to create the room to stay away from arbitration, to get that thing done.
Exactly.
Like, you went to arbitration, which you don't typically do, but you had to in this case, and then you piss off the goaltender of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus. So now you're completely taken on water, because the guy wants to get top dollar. So I don't know what the top three or four goaltenders do, but I'm sure Swayman's saying, I'm in that average somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm right in there.
Yeah, we're talking about seven, but he's probably looking for eight and a half, nine.
He's going plus, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know that about it. He's not giving, like you said, he's not giving him any leeway at all. He's going to hold them right over the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be right. They might have to just trade him and then go with Allmark or Bussy or whatever, that combination. Yeah. You know, give Allmark another two-year deal at the end of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just a little dicey. It is. Chirp Forrest, how do you feel about the trade deadline overall, Bruins league-wide? I thought there was more activity than I thought there'd be, just because so many teams are against the cap. So many, you know, last year was kind of a dead deadline day. Today was a much better deadline day this year than last. I thought it was actually decent, better than I thought.
Yeah, I agree. And there were some, you know, pretty good hockey trades. I mean, Mittelstaff of Bowen Byram and Hanifin moves, and Hurdle comes in right under the deadline where, I mean, I still can't believe San Jose traded him essentially for a bag of pucks. I mean, just unbelievable to me what that trade and what they got in return for him. The teams in the West certainly felt like they were loading up. We didn't really mention Edmonton, but they traded for Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick. Dallas traded for Tanev from Calgary. Mm-hmm. So all those Western, the top four teams in the West kind of loading up for what should be a really, really good, Western Conference, finals out there with all those teams really battling for it. So, I thought it was an interesting deadline. You know, a lot of the activity was out West, and then, in the East, it was, Florida, who's probably the favorite, gets a couple of really good offensive guys, and, the Rangers get Wenberg. And then, Carolina makes some moves. So, some of the top teams in Tampa, obviously, some of the top teams really kind of improved and showed that they wanted to go for it, where the Bruins, were kind of up against it and they didn't have a lot of opportunity to make moves to improve the club very much.
Well, their swing was definitely the Allmark thing. I think they probably were getting a really bona fide NHL player in return.
Right.
So that was kind of where their eggs were in the basket. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear much about DeBrusque. And then when I saw the Toffoli return, it was only like a second and a fourth. I'm like, you're not going to get much for DeBrusque.
Right.
You're just not going to get much for him. You know, he's a 14 goal scorer right now. He's, he's kind of an up and down. He's had some problems with being in slumps and that kind of thing. Gets down, loses confidence, all that stuff. I mean, all that comes into play. I'm not sure what that extension looks like. If he has to take another 1 or 2 year deal, I'm not sure how many people are going to really want him. They would have gone out and got him, I think, if they wanted him. So I'm not sure what happens with him as well. It's going to be creating a really interesting offseason for the Bruins, for sure. And speaking of offseasons, trip number five is Jeremy Swayman. The Bruins in the middle of extension talks, or are they? And your thoughts on I just think that Swayman is going to want, 8x8 or 7x8.5 or something like that. And I just, the Bruins are going to either have to do it, or if they really dig their heels in, are going to have to trade him. Trade his rights in the offseason. And then do you get enough in return? Because teams know you're screwed.
Yeah. We talked about it at the time, we kind of thought they fumbled the arbitration thing. Like you don't take guys to arbitration anymore because they end up pissed off and then they end up somewhere else. So you can't take guys to arbitration and then expect them to forget about it. They're either going to have to pay through the nose or trade him. Like you said, there's really no two ways about it. He's not taking a bridge deal. He's not taking a hometown discount. None of that.
No.
So, the guy's from Alaska. He'll gladly go to the Kings and play on the West Coast and be closer to home. He has no problem with that. So, he'll just wait for free agency and sign with someone else. He'll go, if you don't pay him, he'll just go to arbitration again. He'll sit through you calling him a bad goalie and say, fine, he'll play out the year and then leave. And you're left with nothing. So, they really aren't, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner here and didn't leave him many options. Everybody's talking about trading Allmark, but it might end up being the other way around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's, Jesus. I mean, Bumble City. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if like a 1 year, $6 million deal, like to appease him just to avoid arbitration would even work at this point. Like he's pissed.
Well, he was asking for what? 4.875 in arbitration last year.
4.875.
So he's going to be asking for six and change, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
100%.
If you give him six, maybe, because I think he's at what they settled in the middle, right? So he's at 3-4 something now.
Three and a half, three eight,
something like that. I mean, if you offer him six, that's almost double. So maybe he'll take that in a 1 year deal. But I mean, the Bruins probably want the six over many years, and he's like, "Well, the cap's going up."
They'll probably say six times two or whatever, just to be assholes.
Yeah,
Try to get the upper hand.
Right, but they probably want six times six. To control it. And he's like, no fucking way I'm doing that. Cost control, the cap's going up, $4 million. Like he's they're delusional. If they think he's going to sign for anything under seven, delusional.
Well, they've had a lot of so many people took discounts and so many people.
Yeah, that's over. That's done.
That's over. So I think they're still in that mode. Like they'll stay with the Bruins. They'll stay with us. We're in charge here. And it's wrong.
It is.
It's not like that anymore. I mean, it's not like that anymore. Pastrnak and McAvoy sort of changed that whole thing. Like they took. Pretty much market value. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like that anymore. Charas, no Bergerons, no Marchands, no Pasta the first time. Like that was a great run.
Yeah.
Krejci was the only guy in Rask. Krejci and Rask were the only guys who were like, screw you, you're giving me top market value. Krejci was the highest paid player.
Sure.
For a while on the team because he didn't do it. Like, so I don't blame Swayman at all. And now they're in a bind. Now they're in a bind. Trip six is Parker Weatherspoon signs a 1 year, $800,000 extension for next year. This is a good little sneaky little move. He's been really good, for what they thought. Pleasant surprise. 800 grand for a guy who provides depth at the very least. Mm-hmm. And he may even be your sixth defenseman. Like, I think it's a really good move for them.
I think it's a very good move for them. I think I've said it before. I think he gives you everything Forbort gives you.
With a little more nastiness.
I think he does. I think he shows up a little more in the scrums and he's willing to drop the gloves. He's not going to win many fights because he's not the biggest guy. He's, around 6 feet or so, but, he'll battle and he'll, and he's a pretty good skater and he's a better passer than Forbort is too. And will shoot the puck offensively. He's not going to put up a ton of points, but he's gotten involved in some plays here and there. And so I really like the signing for them. I think it's a great story for him. He was kind of a career AHL guy who kind of turned it into a two-way contract and now gets a one-way NHL deal. It's a great story. A really nice signing for him and for the team, I think.
Yeah, without a doubt. I really like it a lot. And then chirp number seven, the Bruins seem to have found their defensive game in the last week. Is this a good sign moving forward?
I think it is a good sign. It's a very good sign because that is going to be what wins them games. It's not going to be their offense. Their offense is watered down. We'll talk about it maybe in a little bit, but Morgan Geekie's like your fifth leading goal scorer. And this is a guy who was a fourth liner in Seattle. If Pastrnak and Marchand, don't score, it's a lot of depth guys that need to, kick one in or things of that nature, greasy ones in front of the net. So they really have to win with defense and goaltending. So the fact that they're getting back to the defensive structure that's made them so good, since Claude started that whole thing, way back, that's a good sign. It's a very good sign because they're going to need that to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you had it right. The formula is that they need to play that way. Now, if they advance a couple rounds, it's largely because of Jeremy Swayman.
Sure.
Which causes even more problems when it comes to negotiating time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if he just carries you,
right,
then you're even more screwed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I can't even deal. Like, right now is where the rubber meets the road. They've danced around this whole cap issue thing, and they've been able to wiggle free. It's about to clamp down on them and really affect their team to that they're going to take a real step back here soon. It's not possible any other way. Like, it's closing in to where they can't get out fairly soon.
Yeah, because they're going to have some guys that are younger on their team that are having good years. You know, we talked about Geeky just now having a career year. He's only got one more year at $2 million. He's going to be looking for a raise. Trent Frederick's having a career year, most goals scored by him, and he's got one more year at like 2.3. He's going to be wanting to get paid. So then you got these guys coming up. You got a bunch of free agents in DeBrusk and JVR. Shattenkirk's a free agent. So you got all these pieces that you got to either upgrade or you got to sign those guys and hope that they produce like they're producing now. There's a lot of moving pieces in and around this team. And if they sign Swayman to a big extension, you know, they have a bunch of cap space in the offseason, but Swayman signs a big extension and you got a lot of holes to fill. And so that cap space kind of dwindles pretty quickly. So this is going to be an interesting offseason. But then on top of that, like the following year, there's a bunch of guys up, like they're entering territory where it's going to start to be really difficult to kind of keep this team and all these guys together.
I mean, what do you pay Marchand after next year?
Yeah.
Like, what do you pay him if he wants to keep playing?
Right.
You're going to pay. I mean, you're not going to cut his salary in half.
No.
When he's still producing at a high level.
I mean, the only
you're gonna give him at least what he's making.
Yeah, at least what he's making. The only way they somehow get out of this is if Marchand does a Bergeron thing where he's like, give me $1 million base and then give me bonuses based on, you know, points of games played or something like that. That ended up biting them the bonus overages from Krejci and Bergeron from couple of years ago ended up biting them last year or this year with the money on the cap. So there's, you know, it's just kicking the can further down the road. You might luck out and have Marchand take less, but then that just means it's going to be pushed back for another year. And then that bonus overage is going to hit and you're still going to, and hopefully maybe the cap goes up by then and it's not as hamstring to you. There's something coming, and they're going to need to kind of make some either really creative moves or big moves to kind of reshape the team, or they're going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah, for sure. DraftKings Sportsbook, Boston's hometown sportsbook, is live right here in Massachusetts. Bet local on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. With DraftKings, to celebrate, all new customers will receive up to $200 in bonus bets when you sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook using code ITR. You can now bet local on moneyline spreads, props, and more with one of America's top-rated sportsbooks, DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, sign up with the code ITR to get up to $200 in bonus bets to use now that mobile sports betting is live in Massachusetts. That's code ITR only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
If you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, call 800-327-5050 or visit helplinema.org to speak with a trained specialist, free and confidentially, 24/7. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Mass. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply, opt-in required. Bonus issued as free bets. Terms at DraftKings.com/MA.
The beauty for this week is the aforementioned Morgan Geeky.
Gonna love you, eh? They're gonna be loving you from dawn until dusk.
Hey, tied for fifth on the team in goals, as you mentioned, and had a big response goal against Toronto in the last game.
Yes, he did.
We scored that third goal. It was a big one. Mm-hmm. And he's really come on here in the last couple, three, 4 weeks offensively with some production, a little more noticeable, like he's really starting to fit in and now showing a lot of the sort of the talent and potential that people thought he might have.
He's got a really good shot, underrated shot. Like I didn't know much about him because he played out in Seattle, but you know, he's hard to play against. He wins puck battles. He possesses the puck down low and his shot is really good. So I think with a little more opportunity here, you might, you know, hopefully see this from him, you know, for the next few years here, hopefully with Boston.
Right. The faceoff dot needs to improve.
Yeah, he was
You'd like him to be a third line center.
Yeah.
You'd like it.
You would. But he was he was 2-9 on the dot against Toronto in the last game, which isn't going to get it done, especially in the playoffs. Like, you know, that's part of the reason I think their possession numbers are so bad this year is because they're just losing faceoffs. So the other team starts with possession. So there's all this extra work you have to do to get the puck back. So, you know, Bergeron and Krejci were so good at it that, you know, you were starting with the puck, you know, 60% of the time, know, which is a big thing in this league. So, you know, that's something they probably need to address come the off season, you know, with a guy who can really win draws. You know, maybe Johnny Beecher gets a shot again because he was winning draws at a pretty good clip earlier in the season and then kind of tailed off a little bit. So, you know, maybe he's a guy who can come up and do some of that for you. But, yeah, I mean, Morgan Geekie's been really good for the Bruins and hopefully, you know, the scoring will continue now and into the playoffs.
Yeah, and so it was a Dreisaitl's goal that they lost the draw, you know, the overtime, that they lost the draw
deep
in their own end. And, you know, so that's definitely something in the playoffs that they need to find a way. Who's going to take that draw?
Yeah, because the Bruins have been notoriously great at faceoff plays, you know, when Bergeron was there and you knew you were going to win draws to score goals off faceoffs. You know, if you have other guys that are equally as good, you know, at winning faceoffs and they're instituting faceoff plays where they can, you know, make a couple of passes after they win the draw and get a really good shot or a shot in the tip, you know, those are the differences between wins and losses come playoff time.
Right. For sure. 100%.
All right. And the bender this week is Nesson.
Have a bender.
This might be one of the weirdest, worst things I have ever seen in my life. So I'm watching the Nesson trade deadline special today. All right. And it gets to 4:00. Don Sweeney's in the middle of his press conference. And then they cut away from it and say, you can watch the rest on Nesson.com. And then they wrap up this program and leave. So now they're not live anymore. And then what comes on at 4:00?
Is it Charlie Moore?
No, it's a replay of the same fucking show we just watched. So then,
oh my God.
So then it's the same show that started at fucking 2:30. So you get the 2:30 thing, and then they're talking about it. Sweeney's talking live, and they cut away from it to show a replay of the earlier fucking show. Are you kidding me? And that's 30 bucks a month. That is fucking bullshit. That is terrible. It's one of the worst fucking programming decisions I have ever seen in my entire life.
Jesus, we should play that rerun and not listen to anything Don Sweeney's going to say live during the trade deadline. We're not going to listen to that. Let's watch the show we just watched again.
Unfucking believable.
Even if you were an intern with your hand on your schmenza in the boardroom, like, wouldn't you just say to someone, hey, this doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm going to hit the button anyway.
Let's carry the rest of this live. And then we can go into that program, you know, like we join our regularly scheduled program in progress. It happens to be what we just fucking showed you, but we'll join it in progress and let Sweeney you know why it is? I 100% believe this from the bottom of my heart and soul. It's they did not want to pay the people beyond the time that they were supposed to be there. That's 100% the reason, because they're the cheapest motherfuckers, and it's just, oh my God, it pisses me off so bad. I can't.
It's the Red Sox.
I can't believe it.
Shit about the Bruins.
No,
absolutely. They don't care.
They don't give a shit about the Penguins either. They're trading off half the fucking Penguins team, leaving Sidney Crosby to play with a bunch of assholes.
If it was Baby Talk or Small Talk, whatever the fuck that show was, whatever, they'd keep it on for its entirety. Like, I can't. If it was Charlie Moore, he'd be on the goddamn thing. You know, golf, you know.
Oh my God. It's making my blood boil just thinking about it right now. Like, I can't.
Can't believe
it. I mean,
second rate operation.
I literally can't believe it. Like, here he is, the general manager of the fucking team, talking live. And then you're like, nope, sorry. If you want to watch the rest, go to Nesson.com. Fuck you. Sorry. We're going to carry a re-air of the same show we just started at 2:30, which is information from an hour and a half ago.
Hour and a half ago. So Harold, who's 75, is not going to log on to your Netflix 360 bullshit. Is sitting there like, what? What are we watching again?
I can't take it. I
can't take it.
I don't know. I just
can't take it.
I don't understand it at all. I don't get it. I don't know why they would do something like that. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
They're totally toned down.
I might make them a bender again next week just because it pisses me off that much. I might do it again. Right. It's going to be fucking Groundhog Day. You want to re-air? We'll re-air me complaining about this next week. How about that? That'll be the bender. Week. We'll re-air it. It'll be an encore presentation of this same bender.
Let's do that.
Fucking Christ, it pisses me off. Unbelievable.
Jesus. Well, hey, more happy thoughts. Centennial season spotlight. And it's one of our absolute faves.
Yes.
The great Adam Oates was just, obviously had a great career with several teams, but really had a sneaky great stint with the Bruins. 499 points in just 368 games. 357 assists during that time. Had that one season where he scored 39 goals. When Cam Neely was, 45 goals.
Yeah, when Neely was injured, yeah.
When Neely was out and he had to take over some of the scoring. I mean, he's just a gifted playmaker, incredible vision. He was like David Krejci on crack on steroids. He's just an amazing player and still one of the most vastly underrated players. I mean, he should be a player in the that comes out of your mouth the first 12, 15 guys you talk about amongst the greatest because he was just so good.
Yeah, if you want to talk about greatest passers in NHL history, this guy has to be on the list. He has to be.
He's on the list.
He has to be on the list. I mean, he was, Brett Hull scored fucking 700 goals or 800 goals or whatever he did. 700 goals, right? 690 goals. I don't know. A lot of fucking goals Brett Hull scored. And Adam Oates passed him the puck for a lot of those. So, he was... And is one of the greatest passers in the history of the league and had some really, really good seasons with the Bruins, there in the late 80s.
And Neely scored every game. Because of Oates. I mean, Oates was just, and then he played on a team that didn't have a ton of scoring and he ended up just scoring a bunch of goals.
Yeah.
And he's just an unbelievable player.
Yeah, so underrated. So underrated.
One of the most underrated ever. Providence Bruins beauty of the week this week. And Michael DiPietro, a former guest of ours.
Yes, he was.
Who, I'll tell you what, his career has taken off since being on this very program.
That's right.
24 games played. He's at .227 goals against, .923 save percentage. And he has been really, really terrific. And he went from Maine Mariners now to the Providence Bruins and has really climbed the charts. He was kind of he was a guy they got for Jack Studnicka.
Yeah, he was kind of
He had some potential, and now he's really turning into a really legitimate NHL prospect.
He really is. I mean, he's having a great season in the AHL. Those numbers that you read off, the .227 goals against and the .923 save percentage, I believe are both sixth in the fourth in the AHL. He's also fourth or sixth in shutouts with four. So he's having a really, really good season for Providence. Providence is having a good season too. So and he and Brandon Bussey are a big reason why Providence has been so good up to this point in the season.
Yeah, he almost took that. Bussey started out real hot, and then DPS almost kind of took the net over and kind of came out of nowhere when Bussey kind of faltered a little bit. And now you have two legitimate NHL prospects in net for Providence. And again, the Bruins continue. You can crap on them all you want, but they develop goaltenders like nobody's business. And, he's one of the real bright spots for the Bruins this year. And really kind of a surprising little climb for him, too, which is good. And goalies typically.
Yeah, a little later.
A little later in life, they kind of get their stride, and I think DiPietro is showing that now. And what a return! If he ends up being anything, what a return for Studnicka Like that was that was a really good savvy move. Really, it's under the radar move.
Yeah, they have these guys are both I think AHL free agents or waiver. The Bruins have some decisions to make here. You know, as well as with their other goaltending. So a lot of goaltending stuff needs to happen within the Bruins organization here in the in the next little bit off season and whatnot.
Right. Prospect spotlight. How about Beckett Hendrickson? Was a recent draft pick of the Bruins. 45 points in 45 games. Bruins were, drafting down the line, way down the list, down the draft board. Mm-hmm. And they seemed to get a couple of really good players later. Chris Pelosi, Beckett Hendrickson, later in the draft. And they had to. These guys have to develop because, the prospect thing gets bare pretty quickly again.
Yeah, and hopefully they will develop. It's good to see that he's kind of having a pretty good season. Him and Pelosi, I think, were playing together, and then Hendrickson got traded. So it's good now to see that he can do it, without Pelosi, because Pelosi is pretty dynamic as well. So still putting up points without him. So, that's a good sign, and hopefully they both can turn into legit prospects for the Bruins, because they certainly need some.
They have fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks coming up this June. I almost thought that they should just trade them and just take the night off.
Can you do that? Can you do that in the NHL where you're like, take my fourth, fifth, and sixth and give me a third or give me a second?
Yeah.
Can you do that in the NHL? I don't know if you can.
I don't think so, just because the NHL would never be that forward thinking.
Right.
But the fourth and fifth and sixth, that's going to be a tough night draft wise. I mean, don't even show up the first day, right? What is it, 1 through 3?
Yeah, they'll show up just because, maybe they trade somebody. But, yeah, they'll basically be sitting there with their strengths in their hand. But, yeah, you should be able to do that. I would do that if I was them. I'd be like, take all the rest of my draft picks and give me a second,
Right. Sure. 100%. Week ahead for the Boston Bruins. Hey, they're on ABC. Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. at home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Monday on the 11th, they are home against the St. Louis Blues. So these next couple of games here, winnable home games. Hopefully they can stay on track. The Penguins just got rid of Jake Guentzel. They're kind of in a spot now where they invested even longer in Letang and Crosby and Malkin,
but
aren't getting any better.
And I just drew a blank. Eric Karlsson too.
Karlsson, yeah. But they had this sell off Guentzel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they can't really get to like the place where they can go for it for those guys one last time. So they're in a kind of a weird middle of the road situation right now. The Penguins are. We'll see what the Bruins can do here in this next couple of games, because then they have they go to Montreal on Thursday the 14th. So there's a stretch here where they can win a few games.
They should, and you wonder if Andrew Peak will get into the lineup for the game on Saturday, or maybe they hold him out till Monday. I think they were saying today that they were both kind of on flights already, excited to get here. So I think it's a possibility. Maybe Peak gets in Saturday, but I have a feeling Monday probably is more likely.
Right.
Just to get them kind of acclimated and whatnot and go over the systems and so forth. But it'll be interesting to see how, kind of they gel and come together here down the stretch.
For sure. All right. Go to InsideTheRink.com for Bruins Benders merchandise and follow us at Bruins Benders on X. We do the game updates during the games. Lots of interaction there, and subscribe to the Inside the Rink YouTube page and watch us on YouTube. Thanks a lot for listening. And go Bruins.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.